You know what? We should start the show.
Yeah.
We'll talk about all that shortly. Let me make sure the cameras are working. And there we go. We are now live on another episode of The Dorkening. Some somber news. We're going to be talking about Scott Wilson. Unfortunately, he passed. The news was given out yesterday, shortly after they announced his cameo for Walking Dead Season 9. But we're also going to be not somber the entire episode. We're going to talk about New York Comic Con, tons of geeky news, and I'm sure Wolfie and Kevin saw some awesome stuff as well. But before we get into all that, here is the intro.
Sword of Omens, come to my hand. I, Lion-O, command it. Hi, this is Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O from Thundercats, and you're watching The Dorkening. Thundercats, ho!
That's too tame for their grittiness.
Respec and Anthony Thurber and are in the chat room. Good morning, fellas. Also, looks like Laura Potter as well. Nice. With us today, we have Kevin.
What up?
Wolfman.
Salut, everybody.
Yo, yo.
Hey, everybody.
Alex.
Morning, everybody. Grab a cup of Joe.
Every time I say your name, I think of Last Starfighter. Alex!
Never seen Last Starfighter.
What?
Sorry, I'm just so young and impressionable.
No. okay, so we're talking today about New York Comic Con is happening this weekend. Tons of news out already. This is the last day of it. Some cool stuff, but also not so cool stuff. Scott Wilson passed away. And if you don't know Scott, he's from Herschel from Walking Dead. And we met him a couple times. Really, really nice guy. And strong. When he shook your hand, you knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first time I met him.
He's strong.
Now, when I was at Rock and Shock, it was the year that, besides him, it was Michael Rooker was there as well. Like, they came in together. And I waited in line. I had my season 2 bust, the McFarlane season 2, zombie with a screwdriver in his eye that you pull back, for the, get the DVDs out of, or Blu-rays.
Yeah.
I had him sign that. They both signed that. And then, I was sick that weekend, so it's one of those situations where I forgot to get my picture taken that I paid for. So I went, had him sign it, met them, shook their hands, and he was you could tell he had the handshake of a farmer. It was crazy. He totally was oh my God, this older guy could totally kick my ass. He's got some paper on him. But yeah, super nice guy. And then I just walked away and realized after I walked away that I never got my picture with them. And I kind of felt bad because, I had the opportunity and I paid for it. So whatever. But yeah, besides that, he was also in a movie that was on my top 31, the Behind the Mask, Rise of Leslie Vernon. He's in that movie as well. Yeah. But yeah, he's a super good actor. And apparently he'd been battling cancer for a while. And according to Chris Hardwick's post on Instagram, they had announced it at New York Comic Con that he was going to be in it, and within less than an hour, he was notified that he had passed, which sucks.
I can only imagine people at that panel had to get that first news when they were there.
Yeah.
How crappy that could have been. Because I saw it last night. It blew up everywhere. I can only imagine if you were an attendee and were like, oh yeah, Walking Dead, and then hearing that unfortunate news is so horrible.
Yeah. I don't know, his character was awesome in The Walking Dead, the whole Headless Herschel thing. You know, they have the Headless Herschel like Funkos and everything, and it's like my favorite Funko that I have. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously done a lot before Walking Dead, but I think Walking Dead was kind of like his biggest hurrah in his career.
Yeah.
At least that I know.
He was on CSI.
CSI. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played the mob boss. Basically, I'm sorry, go ahead, Yo-Yo.
He's just saying.
The Sidney Poitier. He was in there.
Yeah.
I saw my Rock and Shock, I remember that he was walking by, and I made a shitty joke just as he walked by. I was just like, hey man, don't break a leg, because at the time he only had one in the show. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and he just kind of was like, but he's a super sweet, nice man. I love all those guys.
I wanted him to be my grandpa.
Yeah, he definitely brought a lot of heart to the show, you know, especially when it needed it, when, you know, Rick was losing it in you know, in a jail there.
How bad season two was, and he was the only character that people could actually relate with at one point.
I liked season two as well, but it was definitely like a development season. Like, it, you know, the characters developed a lot in that season, but... You know, he changed so much from season two moving forward. It's like, it's kind of crazy to see how much his character changed in the whole scope of his time on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Bringing up his IMDb real quick. So IMDb says he's known for The Ninth Configuration in 1980, In the Heat of the Night in 1967, The Host in 2006, and obviously Walking Dead. It's not showing his last appearance for Walking Dead. They announced he's going to be a cameo this season. But he's been in Robot Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently, the OA TV series. Also, Damien. He was in a bunch of episodes of Damien. A bunch of episodes of Bosch. Bosch is an awesome show on Amazon Prime. So it looks like he kept busy after Walking Dead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's been a working actor for a long time, but I mean, I think the reach of The Walking Dead is pretty huge. So it's awesome that he, you know, was part of a show that has so much popularity, you know, with that kind of talent. You know, it's good to see that he was it wasn't wasted. But I mean, and it sucks, man. I mean, he didn't, like, the last couple times I had seen him on things, he didn't look sick. Just like when we saw Gunner, he didn't look sick either. And it's just like, it's amazing that they're to that point. And, you know, they got to figure, you know, what the fuck? Why can't, you know, what's up with cancer? Let's get rid of this already. Jesus Christ. You know?
Yep.
I think it also has to do with, like, the term stage health, where somebody can be completely sick and horrible, but as soon as they're, like, in the limelight or something, it's just gone until they're out of view of people.
Hmm.
That just shows passion for your profession.
Yeah.
I always liked his character because, especially, he always had such weight to the things he said. You know, like, he always, you felt like he's about to say shit that's important. You know, like, a lot of, you know, specific actors have, like, that kind of draw, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. He really kind of kept people, I mean, on The Walking Dead, his character kept people grounded. You know, now that he's gone, people aren't as grounded. The characters aren't as grounded. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. It sucks. You know, obviously it's sad to see him go. And I feel bad for his family and all of his friends and coworkers and everything. But yeah, he was great. So I'm glad that we got to, you know, share his talent, you know?
Yep. Just glad, you know, It's also nice that, you know, like, when you meet these people at conventions, because he was known as, you know, to circulate around all the conventions and all that, and everyone just had a little bit of, you know, introduction in his life somewhere at some point. Like, and it's all impactful, you know, it's always, it's nice to be somewhat included somewhere in their chapters in their life, and that's the unfortunate thing when people pass. Not much else to say there.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move on to something not so somber.
Yes. So speaking of Walking Dead, that comes back tonight. Final season with Rick that we know of. Walking Dead doesn't really seem like it's going to be stopping anytime soon. They announced that there's no thoughts of even stopping the juggernaut of Walking Dead.
Well, the thing is that the juggernaut's slowing down a bit. So, I really hope beyond hope that if, the season doesn't kind of change things up a bit as far as quality, I mean, I still enjoy it. But yeah, it's definitely not as enjoyable as it used to be. But yeah, hopefully they get to the point where they know it's time to stop and they stop before it just becomes a joke of itself.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you know, like any series, they'll probably try to do more spinoffs. We have Fear the Walking Dead. You never know. They may do like a Negan spinoff. You know, like
a Negan sitcom.
I was going to say it. He beat me to it.
Yeah, a three camera shoot sitcom with a live studio audience.
Or they could just do a show about Clementine since Telltale Games screwed up royally.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Actually, Negan's in a recent commercial for some DVR service. I saw it the other day. And,
is it Negan or Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Both. She goes.
He played other things, you know.
I know that, but I'm just saying, is he playing the character of Negan or is he playing?
Yeah, yeah, okay. No, he's playing Negan.
He as a comedian? That'd be great. like, why?
Let me tell the damn story here.
Stop going and just tell the story.
Okay, so the woman is trying to find Walking Dead, so she asks for Negan. And all of a sudden, Negan appears in her house and
caves in her skull with a bat.
Yeah, well, he has the bat and he's like you know, he's looking for the zombies. And, you know, he starts talking to the woman and, you know, as Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And then he sits on a couch with a remote with his bat with Lucille. It's pretty surreal to see him in, you know, a normal house with a normal person. So it was a cool commercial. I don't know what it was for, but it was for maybe Comcast or something like that, where you talk to a remote asking for an
action. It was for the couch. That's what the commercial was for.
It was a Bernie and Phil's furniture commercial.
Can you ever play baseball again without people getting anxious around him?
Good question. When he does play baseball, does the ball just stick to his bat?
You think he just uses the prop on set with all the nails in it? Yeah, I'm going to believe that.
Okay, so what else from New York Comic Con have you guys been excited about?
Not much.
No.
The stuff that you sent me, I didn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She-Ra!
Well, we heard they were rebooting it. The artwork looks a little cartoon.
Looks like Totally Spies.
It's a cartoon, Leo.
I'm like 99% sure it's bad. It's same people who do Totally Spies, because that looks exactly like the artwork from Totally Spies.
I don't know. That is.
It's clearly not my like full cup of tea. I do like that they're making it, you know, a show and whatever, and a little whole story behind it and whatever. They're going deeper into the characters like they do in some of these reboots, like they did with the Thundercats some years ago. But I think the designs are all right. I just think the She-Ra design when she's like in her princess form is like the least interesting design out of all of them. Like out of all the characters they have in the show, I think her design is the least interesting, because to me it just kind of looks like Ben 10 in a blonde wig. But other than that, like, I have no complaints. Hopefully it's a good show. Hope the kids will like it.
Yeah. The most, other than Aquaman trailer, which I really dug.
So that's what that says. It's, you put Awana Man. Extended trailer. So I'm like, I don't know.
I will have that for a few minutes. Just like, is there like an inside joke? Did he misspell it? Awana Man?
Is this like a Madea's Awana Man or something? Like Tyler Perry's?
Oh, God.
So Aquaman extended trailer. Looks pretty badass. But I think the coolest thing out of the list, Sabrina on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Yeah. What do you guys think of that?
Where's Salem?
I have no interest.
They briefly showed Salem.
No, he's not talking.
Well, he's not talking. He's not talking.
Okay.
That's the only trait of Caleb that I like.
Did you read the comic books? Did you read the comic book, though?
No.
And what, the new series, the one that came out?
It's based after that specific comic book series, a newer reboot where it's
that comic. Doesn't he talk in that one?
Yeah. But, I mean, we just saw a glimpse of him, so that doesn't necessarily mean he's not going to talk during it.
Well, I was hoping for the contrast. I was hoping he was going to do some quips, you know, or something.
In the comic, he's not quippy.
God damn it. That's all I want. I want him to bribe people with money and steal sushi and shit. That's all I want. I want the 90s Salem to be in this show just as contrast of just like, why is this character so fucking wacky? Like, why is that going on? I want that.
The show looks awfully dark. I mean, it's...
Comic is. It's actually pretty good. So just saying.
I do like Afterlife with Archie. That's a pretty good one, too. Have you guys read Afterlife with Archie?
No.
Yeah.
Really good. Starts off with Hot Dog gets hit by a car, and so he's, you know, Jughead is like, oh no, what am I going to do? So he goes to Sabrina to resurrect his dog, and she brings him back, but because of her necromancy, she's now like banished to like this hell land Sabrina is, and Jughead gets bit by Hot Dog, and he starts the zombie virus in Riverdale. It's great. It's a great little story, and the art is great too.
Nice. Another thing that came out this week, have you guys watched Malevolent yet on Netflix?
No.
It looks really good.
Our fingers are not on the pulse of things.
I heard it was coming out, but I was just cruising through Netflix yesterday and I saw it listed. So basically it's a horror movie on Netflix where these ghost hunters are total frauds. They have a skit where, not really a skit, but they send a woman in who claims she's a psychic, and you know, she scares the homeowners, and you know, the ghost hunters come in, clear out the ghost that the psychic sees, and then collect their money and go. So this happens, but the house actually appears to be haunted, and all hell breaks loose. So looks really good. You should check it out.
Yeah, it sounds like something I would like.
It almost sounds like Grave Encounters.
Kind of, yeah. Grave Encounters, which is basically they're just ripping on Ghost Adventures.
And or how big ghost show.
No, it's. I'm telling you, it's all about Ghost Adventures. That dude's totally Zach Baggins.
Okay.
In that show. He's totally Zach because he's a douchebag. Like he's, they're totally the yeah dudes of Ghost Adventures. In that movie, I'm like, oh man, like I'm wondering if they're gonna get sued.
You have like a reality show in any sense where you're like a yeah dude, bro dude, you should be killed. Preferably by something paranormal for the entertainment of your viewing audience. But
right, well, the thing with Ghost Adventures is that like the amount of times that Zach claims to be possessed on a show and you know stuff like that, it's totally them that they're making fun of. But on Netflix,
you have like a parking ticket.
Yeah. Sorry, I was possessed. But anyways, Big Mouth season 2 is on Netflix right now. I don't know if any of you guys ever watched Big Mouth.
I'm too creeped out by their faces.
Really?
I do not like the look of that show.
It's really funny.
They're the ugliest design characters you can
find. Yeah. Netflix. Well, it's Nick Kroll, the guys who did Too Much Tuna, or you know, so Nick Kroll and I'm forgetting the other dude's name, but a ton of like great comedic actors are in this movie. I mean, this show. It's very uncomfortable because they're all, you know, prepubescent kids that are going through puberty. So they have hormone monsters and like literally like kids playing with themselves and finding their first pubes, stuff like that. It's a weird show.
Yeah.
It's wicked funny. Crazy funny.
Did I think BoJack season 5 just came out?
Yep.
I'm down to binge that at some point.
Yeah, and then it started in syndication on Comedy Central. So they're playing the earlier seasons on Comedy Central now.
Oh, dang, I didn't know that. Well, good for them, I guess, but I mean, television is slowly dying, but no one notices, so it feels weird. It's like, it's on television now. Wow, what a kind of downgrade, isn't it?
I think it's cool.
Like, what happened?
That there's a show that's been on Netflix so long that they're able to syndicate it to regular TV now. I think that's kind of different. Like, that's the first time I'm really seeing that.
Could Netflix be what Blockbuster is to networks now? Where they're like going in for a, can we have a good show or something? Yeah, here you go. You can borrow it for a little while.
Yeah.
but they're just rewind it.
I know Wolfie's been really busy because he's been doing his 31 Days of Halloween, so he's been watching a bunch of horror movies. We both watched Song of Solomon last night. Did you watch it last night too?
Yeah, I watched about 45 minutes of it last night, then I finished it up this morning. You know, so.
Yeah, because we're reviewing that.
Is that the one with the girl with the tentacle coming out of her mouth or something?
Those are part of her innards.
Oh, okay.
That's Jessica Cameron.
Yeah. She's been on the show a bunch of times. She does not look like that at all either, which is crazy.
No.
But yeah, at one point in the movie, she basically vomits out all of her insides and is like, oh, I'm going to need those, and then eats them again. Yeah. She's possessed. It's a possession movie. And it's pretty cool because it's how many sets of priests come through before things.
It's also crazy the amount of.
Is there a gif of her puking up her organs that I can use for certain reactions on my messenger?
No, probably not.
Dang it.
I wouldn't be surprised if you could find one.
I don't think it's a big enough movie where people, you know, it's hard enough to even find like a dead alive one that's decent. But anyways, the one thing that's cool with this movie, if the favorite part of exorcism kind of movies is all the action, this movie does not start with a long explanation of what's going on. It just goes right into it.
Throws you right into the story.
Demons and devils. Here's the first half an hour.
Right.
Or hour or movie.
Yeah.
Here's a website to our fake made up plot that you can research in. Wasn't that the thing of like the devil inside or some crap, or it's like an old woman that's possessed or some shit? And like at the very end of the movie, it just cuts to black and it says like to a website link or something. It's like, go here to like find the rest of the story. And it's like, how's this a movie?
Yeah. Like, I shouldn't have to do homework for a movie.
Especially in the sense, like, there's no maintenance on the website even now, so, like, no one cared. So it's like, what's the point?
It's old GeoCities website no one cares about. Anyways,
also, another Netflix show that they show that Guillermo del Toro presented the second series involved with the Tales of Arcadia show with Troll Hunters on Netflix, which is Three Below, which is about three aliens. You guys see the stuff for that one?
No.
Have you guys ever seen the cartoon Symbionic Titan?
No.
That was a really great one. It's essentially kind of the same plot. It's about these three aliens that come to Earth to hide out because I guess they're royalty or whatever, and they have a bodyguard that I guess pretends to be their grandfather or something while they try to blend in, you know, fish out of water stuff, but yet, you know, there are these weird aliens trying to stay normal in this suburbia. But it's also a Del Toro project, so I'm totally down because I will do anything for Del Toro, anything.
Wink, wink.
I'll wink my wings, man, everything, you know? Like, I love that man. Did you see he's got a pop figure now, and his pop figure number is 666.
Nice.
How wonderful.
I did see that. Yeah.
Proud of them.
That just shows. Like, I spent a good amount of time. I mean, I spent a good amount of time poking around on Netflix, and there's so much stuff I just don't even see. Yeah,
and like, got a lot. I kind of like Troll Hunters. Like, I know it's like it's very Saturday morning cartoon at times, but eventually, when you get to the end, you're like hooked. Like, this is actually pretty good.
Well, speaking of pretty good,
oh Jesus.
Can I scrap from his last sentence to incorporate to segue into the next bullshit?
Speaking of, I'll do anything.
Speaking about blowing Guillermo del Toro, we got.
means. You know what his jizz tastes like? Sorry.
Hellboy.
Oh, jeez. Okay, maybe I shouldn't segue, but I. You know what?
We didn't
Deadly
talk
Grounds
about
coffee. I am drinking pumpkin this morning. Kevin, what are you drinking?
Hell's Fury, because I am not an average white girl like you.
So Deadly Grounds Coffee is the official coffee of the Dorkening. We absolutely love their coffee, not just because they're a sponsor of ours, but because it tastes so damn good. You know, it's when I run out, it's very sad when I have to, you know, pull out an old bag of, like, you know,
Folgers Christmas,
Vermont Country Blend or something like that. It's just, but
then
yeah,
we get to hear about how he needs more coffee. He's like a junkie.
Yeah, I know.
Totally worth it, though.
It is. It is. It, you know, if you like great tasting coffee, definitely check out Deadly Grounds. But don't listen to us. Here's a zombie telling you about Deadly Grounds Coffee.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
I know I'm not going to talk about it too much, but I actually watched something on DCU yesterday. And Wolfie, I think you like this. The Justice League, The New Frontier.
Yeah.
I recommended that one. I love that one.
I've got that on Blu-ray.
Yeah, that was, he did Batman, the animated series, the artist.
Bruce Timm.
Bruce Timm, yeah.
Are you talking about Darwin Cook?
Nope, Bruce Timm. Very well done. I watched that, and also on Netflix they had Batman Bad Blood. Which
was that one any good?
Really good. I enjoyed it. But I'm shocked it's not on DCU. But it's on Netflix, so
I mean, DC sucks. And seeing that new Titan trailer, just in case.
Let's get into DC shit talk again. We fucking destroyed DC, and they're incompetent. Go on, Yo. What were you going to say?
Oh, God, the trailer is just absolutely, like, the CGI for Beast Boy, like, everything about it just, like, I watched it, and I was like, well, yeah, I'm definitely not watching this, because this is utter garbage. And then the Harley Quinn trailer making, like, just because you make fun of yourself doesn't make it better.
Yeah, that's like,
but look, it's Deadpool. She makes Deadpool references. Isn't that funny and not try hard?
Oh my God.
So that's Haley. What is it? Haley Cuoco from Big Bang Theory.
Which one's that one?
The new Harley Quinn.
No, no, I meant like who does she play in the show? I do not watch it because I have taste.
She's the blonde.
Yeah,
she's the not funny one.
There's two blondes.
Ooh, that's so descriptive. Oh, that shows how much I. You watch it then. If you know there's two blondes.
My mom watched
it. I do watch it. I can tell you.
You're a nerd. You love all this shit, don't you? And it's like, no, it's the blackface of nerddom. Don't show this to me.
Okay, hold on. The first season was actually good. The first season was actually good with Big Bang when it was a nerdy show, you know, but then it just got too full of itself, you know. It's
okay.
Anyway,
sure it got too full of itself, or did it just reveal what it really was meant to be?
I don't know. I didn't get that deep into it.
How many toxic relationships have you been in, Leo?
It
was great in the beginning, but they slowly changed. It's like, is it, or did they actually, were they that the whole time? Are you sure?
maybe I just like the punishment. Melissa Potter says, morning, everybody. Also, hi, Alex. Okay, so we won't dwell on it too much, but I'm going to continue to watch stuff so I can get my money's worth. But
Yeah, I don't think
you're going to watch stuff, but you're not going to get your money's worth.
But The New Frontier is a great movie. It's really good. It's based.
But you don't have to watch it on DCU or anything. I mean,
or if you like it enough, you can actually read the book. It's really good. Like if you liked all the like the little in between stuff, that's all filled out. It's great. I haven't got one.
It's pretty violent too.
So yeah. Well, it's supposed to be based around like the Cold War, I think. It's pretty great. They even have like a big volume of it, The New Frontier, all by Darwin Cook. Unfortunately, he passed away, I think, early last year, which is very unfortunate. I got my chance to meet him once. He was a very sweet, sweet man. He did a run on the Spirit when DC had the rights for it, and it's probably my favorite. You know, not including probably the original Will Eisner run, but definitely a great, great dude, right. And definitely had interesting sensibilities. He even like what's on here? He based he put a lot of research into that universe. Like, there's like a whole Wikipedia thing in the back of all the books of where all these pages reference like old comic books and stuff like that. That's why like the montage at the end of the movie when they're showing like the Justice League fighting Starro for the first time, and that's like an homage to like the old comic book covers and stuff like that. He's very ingenious. It's a very good book, so I recommend that definitely.
Nice. I'll have to pick it up. Another book that when I had to go pick up my comics at the comic store, because I got a call because my box was full. I heard about this new Justice, or not Justice League, Batman Dark or DC Dark. Have you heard about it?
No.
So a new, more adult-oriented comic series. And he, Joe, the guy that runs Sargent's Comics, says it sat on the shelf for a while. But as soon as the news came out that Batman's unit can be seen in the comic, I guess it flew off the shelves.
Is Bat Dawn?
Last time I went to the comic shop, we had a very long conversation about that people are coming in because now they're the next printing, it's more censored. Like, they blackened it out more because It just showed the silhouette of his dong in the Batcave when he's walking around, you know, helicoptering towards Alfred. And, you know, he's like, oh, Master Wayne, stop, you know, that kind of shit. And that there are people actually coming in trying to collect the Dong comic, and he has to now put a sticky note that says, like, this is reprinting, the Dong is not in this one. So, like, collectors are now looking for Bat Dick. Like, that's a real thing. Like, they're like, I'm looking for Batman number so-and-so with the Bat Dick, you know, because now it's a collectible.
What did he call it? Is it like the other Batarang, or like
he calls it his Grayson?
Oh. DC Dark is the new series. Apparently, they're coming out with Superman Year One in November. That's supposed to be really good. So we'll have to keep our eye on that. Hopefully, it doesn't have a super dong. So it's
well, you're making people buy comics. They're gonna put dongs in everything.
Wonder Woman will have one. It'd just be madness.
Yeah, exactly. Wonder Woman.
Man, I'm sure DC will do it because anything that contradicts any sort of lore in DC, they'll do it.
Yeah.
So they're gonna have to, then Lewis is gonna have to go out and buy all new Wonder Woman figures if that's the case.
Yeah.
Or just get a lot of mold.
And yeah. Sculpty. Yeah.
Anthony Thurber says, I'll wait for Swamp Thing before I check out DC's streaming service. And I totally agree.
Yeah.
With I should
you don't, you don't agree thing. With him because you paid for a year up front.
I did, yeah.
So, I agree. I'm more willing for Swamp Thing only because I know Derek Mayers is going to be playing Swamp Thing, and I just want that.
I don't care
about anything else. Like, from what I heard is that, like, apparently just he's playing Swamp Thing, but he's not playing Alec Holland. They're getting another actor for that. So I guess they're doing kind of a, you know, Lou Ferrigno type thing. But why? Just get – he's charismatic as fuck if you ever met him. He's so nice and shit. Just get him. But I'm excited. I hope they go for the horror aspect and don't try to, you know, please everyone like how,
you know, like the Titans trailer, as Yo-Yo said, as like as horrible as it looks, it's like every trailer comes out that is like trying to say, no, it's actually good. It's funny. It's not always dark. And it's like the worst thing to do is what they're doing with that. So like if they make like a sitcom or some sort of like weird fourth wall breaky comedy with Swamp Thing, then it's just got to be a horror show. You essentially got to make it like as light as maybe Supernatural, maybe, you know, but just have it dark.
What if you had it just wicked dark and brutal? Totally not something typical that DC would do.
And have Batman a killer now in the new Titans show.
It would, you know what though? It would get people's attention.
I honestly do believe that's how DC gets their thrill now, is that they wanted to be more controversial than they are, you know, than actual like adapt characters, because controversy is like the best marketing that they have. Why do you think every single character is gender bent, race change, whatever? It's always like some weird, like, look what we're doing. It's a different interpretation. It's like, just fucking make the character. That's all we want.
They're going to carry the whole thing. That's like the new Swamp Thing as well. The TV show is just going to be dongs everywhere. What?
How long did the new Batgirl costume last, where she was like, it was totally not sexy. It was more, you know, just like a generic Batgirl suit.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I was asking Alex, hopefully he knew.
Oh, you know, the purple one with like the clippy. Yeah. That lasted for a good while. People confirmed that as like the first like escapee of the New 52. So everyone was kind of celebrating her as like the Burnside version of Batgirl, where she was out on her own and, you know, doing her own thing, kind of like Nightwing back when. But I guess eventually things have to reset with DC. I mean, you know, it's a good time, you know. It's fine, but
the only good thing about DC resetting seems like more regular than normal. Well, than what I'm used to is it gives you guys something to talk about every Sunday, because that's
it. All we're
gonna talk about on Sundays.
Well, was there anything else out of New York Comic Con? I mean,
nothing struck me as being interesting at all.
The Boys, that's going to be a show.
Yeah, that looks interesting.
And Umbrella Academy, which is great.
Good.
I haven't read The Boys, but I heard great things. I'm more familiar with Umbrella Academy, and they're making that a show, I believe. And that book series, most people, I only read the book series, and only found out afterwards that like it was written by Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance, and that book is great. I love that book. It's about these it starts off so wacky, like it's a great book. It starts off with a guy suplexing or doing like a dropping an atomic elbow on some sort of like alien squid creature, and around the world a bunch of virgins gave birth to random kids that have different superpowers, and this dude who calls himself the Monocle took all these kids in his orphanage and basically trained them to protect the Earth, and all of them grew up with like weird psychological issues with their father because he was a literal alien that couldn't relate to them. So they all grew up kind of all messed up, and they're trying to like be together as a family, and you see them as kids trying to save the world as these youngsters, but they grow up into flawed adults still trying to like help and save the world and stuff with their weird. It's great. It's a great book. I highly recommend it, especially if you have any interest in the upcoming show. I'm not sure if they showed any footage, but they showed stills and like images and posters and stuff, but other highly recommended book.
What channel is it going to be on, or what streaming service?
Is it Netflix? I'm unsure, because I think it might be because I think it was like advertised next to Sabrina, so it might be Netflix.
Got it.
But
what do you got?
Yeah.
Did you guys check out the new Peter Jackson movie, Mortal Engines?
I did.
I was looking I was watching, I was like, I could have sworn I've seen this already. I don't know why I think I've seen this already. It's super bothering me.
It reminded me of the
trailer. The trailer's been in the movie, in the theaters forever. I mean, for at least a year and a half now. So.
It's like, it kind of reminded me of like the latest trailer that came out. It seemed like a young adult novel.
It is. You know?
It really, it felt like the Golden Compass or something, because it was another one like, It's like, young girl, you are destined for great things. Let's go on this whimsical adventure where we're going to place to place to place to place to place to place and movie. That's about it.
It is based on a novel.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, did you guys see that? It was like the it was like the discovery of a vampire or something that they're showing. It's like a movie that they showed, and it's
I didn't lose.
It's another movie that's like a straight other like supernatural romance movie, like Twilight, or say like some dipshit girl falls for like some dipshit rich dude, and they're like, you can't be with this chick, and they're just like, I don't care, I love her, blah! And that's the movie. And it's about a vampire loving a witch, and they can't be together because that's like interracial, or that's like bad, like they can't crossbreed or some shit like that. So
that would make three movies coming out about that somewhat as part of the plot. Well, not three movies, three. Because Sabrina.
Yeah.
There was a part I did scream, what the fuck, in the trailer, because they were just horse riding all of a sudden in the trailer. And I was like, God damn, this is like over romanticizing like romance for like, what, 14-year-old girl? It's like, if I find a boyfriend, we're going to go horseback riding. He's going to take me on his yacht. And it's like, what the fuck?
But that's what the media has been doing for a long time, just to say.
So it seems like, you know, New York Comic Con was pretty much nothing really major, you know? So,
we didn't even get to see that, though. That's the thing. We got to see a poster. Yeah. Like, the most interesting thing that I would... I got to see a poster.
Yeah.
Poster what?
I didn't even look up people describing it because I want to see what it looks like, because isn't this...
So I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, poster what, Alex? Hellboy. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing that's been around, a poster.
Yeah. And I don't like their tagline. I hate it. I hate it, hate it, hate it. Did you see what it says on the poster? In the very bottom, like right above the title Hellboy, it says Legendary AF. So they're trying to make it legendary as fuck. It's like, what tryhard asshole was working in the Hollywood industry to make these cringeworthy fucking promotions?
Maybe they meant like anal fissure or something like that.
I'd be down. I'd be like, where is this movie going to go?
Legendary anal fissure.
Why isn't it called like something with a tagline? Is it just called straight up Hellboy?
I think it is.
Yeah. I don't like that. Like,
anyways.
Yeah.
Wolfie and I have some shows we want to talk about.
Yeah, what do you got?
What we talk about every week that we wait till the very end of the show to talk about, because it's all about DC Universe all the time. Anyways.
You know, we talked about New York Comic Con, and pretty much the only news was...
And DC Universe. DC I meant. Anyways.
I brought it up for a second.
What?
Is it that second?
You realize that we're at 10:48?
Look, anyways, he regrets it, and he needs to fucking vent somewhere.
Yeah, he's trying to justify spending all that money, and it's just not working week after week. That's what he's like. If I paid for it, I'm talking about it. I don't give a shit. If I paid for it, so do they. They have to pay for it by listening to me talk about it.
Anyways. You guys want to talk about Venom?
No. So, anyways, the newest episode of The Purge, as well as Ink Master. Because we both watched the shit out of that show, or both shows. Purge, there was some movement, for sure.
There was a lot of movement. So, the one scene I wanted to bring up that, I don't know if this went through your mind, but it went through my mind. So, the brother makes it to the Carnival of Flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he's like, in a... He's out in a square, you know, and you can see in the background it says... burgers and hot dog, or burgers and sausages.
Mm-hmm.
Thing that goes through my mind is, I would not eat one of those at the Carnival of Flesh. Because you know where they're getting their meat.
I didn't even notice the sign, but yeah, I just figured. I mean, it's only for one day, so it's like, gives you the opportunity to be a cannibal for a day. It's not against the law.
It's true. I just, it was the first thing that went through my mind. You know, all of a sudden they just kind of show the brother and it's in the background. I'm like, no, I wouldn't have either one. But yeah, there's a lot of movement going on here. I'm now curious again about what's going on with the office woman. Yeah. You know, now that she showed up at Billy Baldwin's place, you know. The brother and sister thing, that's going to be interesting. You know?
Because you said last week, are they ever going to actually meet up? And they finally did.
Yeah. They finally did. It took a while, but yeah. Dude, the rich couple are not, they're not rich. We keep the couple amongst the rich.
Party. Yeah.
Yeah. They're at the rich people party. Fiona Dorff is doing a great job as the wife, and the dress that she's wearing, I swear to God, highlights her ass so well. Every time they turn around, it's like just, well, it's right there.
Watching, like, I've never even noticed it. So
seriously,
yeah, wow. Seriously. Sorry,
no, I
was watching the actual show. I wasn't just be like,
I was watching the actual show too. But whenever she turns around that dress, it kind of sets off her radar. So,
So anyways, there's a lot of I don't know what's where this is gonna go. Like, we thought, I in my mind with that party, I thought it was gonna be something where, like, okay, hey, we have something really big planned for later. I thought it was gonna be like, hey, we're gonna kill the servants or something, you know.
According to Leo, that's what
no, yeah, but I thought that's where it was going. Because you know, she kind of befriended one of the maids, and I thought it was going to go that direction where there was going to have to be a choice here kind of deal, but that's not what happened whatsoever.
So I thought what was going to happen was because of the wife's morality and how she feels towards the purge and everything, that the husband was going to kill the wife off at the party, you know, and still get the guy to invest in his company.
Hmm.
I thought that's where that line was going to go. I was like, well, but no, they say they want a revolution, man. And that's what's happening.
Yeah. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where, you know, what happens this week coming up. Cause they're on the run now, and it's how far can they get before something bad happens. And then in with the brother and sister, it's kind of a matter of, okay, are they still under the control of that psycho? Yeah, because he now has the brother as well.
He's bought them both, yeah. So do you think at all, I mean, with luck, without luck, whether or not, do you think any of the main characters will meet up with other main characters in the series?
It's feasible. I think the brother and sister could run into the married couple.
Yeah.
I think they could if they're both on the run. They're both on the run. You know, if they escape from the carnival of flesh, and they very well could be. We'll just have to wait and see. How many episodes are we in?
I think we only have like 3 episodes left.
Yeah, so we're going to start seeing everything happen in these next couple episodes. So
I'm
curious if they're going to do a season 2. You know, because they just said, you know, 10 episode event kind of thing. So I don't know if they're going to do a season 2. Who knows? But if they did, I would watch it.
So one thing that I thought was is interesting is the fact that I think I've talked about this to you, you know, before, is that on the show, a lot of things that happen are like the murder, mayhem, stuff like that. And I'm like, I've been thinking, I'm like, well, why couldn't someone overthrow, I mean, a company, you know, or something that's like, spend a whole year setting the coup up. And then at the last minute, you know, the night that it's legal, do it. You know, it's like Bill Gates gets taken over by Ford, you know, something like that. You know, they send in their secret spy. He stays, he's on the board. He's doing all this stuff, you know, and he gets them to overthrow it. And, you know, Ford now owns Microsoft or whatever, you know, just because. And I'm like, it looks like there might be something like that coming down the pipe.
Yeah,
you know,
possibly.
And I'm like, that's cool. I was thinking about that because everything's legal. It's like it could be murder mayhem, but it could also be just, you know, blackmail and whatever else, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm digging it. And if you haven't seen it, and I'm sure it's on demand. It's on multiple networks. It airs first on USA, but they replay it on other networks. So
yeah, it's on all the Universal channels basically. Yeah. You know?
So yeah, I mean.
Try to catch it when it's on, but I keep trying to DVR it, and my DVR just does not seem to want to function correctly. So I'm not that happy about that.
Mm.
Well, Kevin was having that thing.
Yeah. Well, what it was is that too many things were recording at once. I can only record so many things at a time. So it was recording another showing of it on another network. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a good time. I recommend checking it out. Even if you're not a fan of the movies, I'd still recommend checking it out. It's a good show. And then Ink Master.
You almost got your wish this week.
I don't know why that dude's still there. But anyways,
I'll be honest. Between the two of them, man, I liked his color palette on the last tattoo compared to hers.
Meh. We'll have to agree to disagree. But as far as the battle scenes, I thought they made the right choice. Like on the group challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I you know, everyone dropped the ball on Team Clean. You know, it was just, for lack of a better word.
There was some parts of the tattoo that were really cool, but they didn't work together. You know, it just didn't work together. Yeah.
No, they just weren't cohesive enough. I mean, you honestly could look at Team Christians and go, you can't tell that more than one person did that. And you looked
for the guys that don't watch the show, they had a competition where each team, so it's Team Clean, Team Christian,
about six people each.
Yeah, and they had to tattoo a battle scene on someone's leg, like their upper hip area. That's where it was, right?
I thought one was on an arm, but okay. But
like the round fleshy part from last week.
Anyways.
Oh my god, I thought you were still talking about the Purge. I was really trying to follow along. Like, what'd they do?
So they had to, but they all had to chip in. Like, so it was like a 6-hour tattoo and they had to switch off every hour. There's two people tattooing at the same time. And they had to make it look like it was all done by one artist.
Yeah.
Like to be able to adapt to other people's styles and stuff like that. So one of them did like a big, like there was a dragon and like looked like some kind of warrior and like a skull and, you know, like in the front, and it was foreground, it was a castle and all this other stuff. And the other one did, it was an alien dinosaur battle.
Yeah.
And that one,
which
that
is
one
actually
was
a really cool idea.
Yeah, it was all black and gray. The other one was all color, and the dinosaur one came out really cool. Like, it's very illustrative. It wasn't like ultra like realistic looking, but it all matched, and it does look like the same person did it. And then the other one, it was all different styles, and it was like the castle just looked like a little brick house in the background, and it was just like it didn't look very good.
One guy did this really cool looking, wispy looking smoke, and then you saw that someone else did smoke also on the other side of it because they had to trade off, and it didn't look anything like it. It was just kind of like a blob or a blur, and it was just kind of like it was just awful, man. And I'm for Team Clean, but they really just killed themselves in the foot in that one.
Silhouettes of like these, like, you know, warriors riding horses, and like one guy put it on, and like the leg was going the wrong way. It's like, dude, you fucked this up. Like, the leg's going the wrong way. He's like, well, that's the way you drew it. So, but don't correct it. You know, if you see it, you should know the anatomy kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so then the team that lost, they have to pick people that were the worst of the group to go down and compete against each other. And they had to do a mech skull, like a biomech
skull.
Yeah.
So partially organic, you know, but also, you know, metal. And the one of the guys, Austin, Kevin just can't stand him, and it's understandable. The guy's a douche, you know. And then the girl went, one of the girls for that team also got picked. And
but the thing is, she's known for watercolor, like that's her style is watercolor, and this was completely different than what she's ever done on the show, which I thought was good. But I don't know.
The thing that's crap. Well, she didn't really lose. I mean, she got kicked off, yes, but she didn't really lose to him. She lost to everybody else on that team because everyone was sitting around telling him, because they're supposed to go head to head. And that's the thing that's bugged me on the show for a long time. You know, all the different seasons, it just seems like whenever they're supposed to go head to head, there's always like between one and four people stand around going, you should do this and you should do that.
Yeah.
Helping the person out. The
when they were competing against each other, he had like a crowd of people around him telling him how to do it. And there was no one around her helping her out. And she ended up losing.
That's not fair.
Right. But and the thing is, too, they're shooting themselves in the foot because, well, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, because he's definitely going to be going soon. So maybe it's something like, all right, well, like if they get down to the bottom again, you know, we can sacrifice this guy, you know, give him another shitty one to get out of there. But I don't know. Anyways, it's a fun show. It's a competition.
Is it though?
It is.
Still,
it's a competition. They win $10,000.
All right.
Well, the coach wins $100,000. It's $100,000.
Okay.
Oh, I just fucking bullshit. It's a good show, though.
No, it is. No.
I understand the concept of why that you would want to, especially if they felt maybe she was a stronger artist in certain ways.
But so at the end of the day, there's only going to be one person. So at some point, they're all going to start. That's why it's a competition, which sucks.
Yeah.
But it's also, I like tattoo art. I like good artists. I like watching good artists
that's
work.
That's it.
So that's the reason I like the show. And then that's why when I see someone who sucks, I'm like, not only do they suck, they didn't suck on paper, they sucked on someone's skin. So it's like, you screwed this up for the person for life, unless they want to have it removed.
I really feel sorry for those people that come in there. When you see like the really bad ones, you're like, dude, how the hell did you make it on the show?
Well, that's the reason we had the other show, the Ink Master Redemption or whatever, where people will come in and flip out, be like, you fucked up my arm, you need to fix it now. And they like get into a big fight.
Would you really trust that same artist though to fix it?
They're getting paid to be there.
Exactly.
I think
we've all encountered people that shows like, "Hey, check out my new tattoo," and you're like, "Oh, that's
a tattoo.
That's a thing that's on your body now that you can't wash off."
Right. But if it's something that if it's something that you like, then that's all that matters. You know?
Yeah, I've seen
some tattoos of like, there's like, oh, my friend drew me this, and their friend's clearly not an artist, and it's like, oh, that's not where the eye is supposed to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And also depends on the style too. Like there's different styles that, you know, there's like new, like with art, you're an artist, so you're a very good artist.
Thank you.
But you have a style that you kind of specialize in, or you specialize more in certain styles than others.
This is really like dancing around saying like, you can't draw that good, but you have your own thing.
No, not at all. No, you draw great, but like, if you don't do photorealism, right?
No, but I could.
Right. But I'm saying, but you do more of the other stuff, but you know, like, if something's photorealistic, it's done in a different way than, you know, the way that you do. Like, so that really cool picture you did to advertise you're going to be at Rock and Shock.
Yeah.
Where you're, you know, whatever.
There's a fine difference between, like, doing cartoonist and doing, like, realistic style, because you can bend stuff to a certain degree, but everything has the uncanny valley, which some people don't know is, like, when things start to get, you know, more realistic over time, you know, and the more realistic it becomes, it just drops because it's creepy. It's like when you see robots with, like, you know, like flappy skin above, it's too uncanny, too creepy, like the Polar Express movie or something like that. And if you keep pushing, eventually it gets back to normal, but there's a huge valley where it drops. Yeah. And doing cartoons or doing anything realistic, like if you're doing something realistic, you usually have some sort of flair or somewhat of an exaggeration of certain things. Like if you go to a park, you can see a caricature. It's a cartoony version, but you get the landmarks of that person's facial features to get, oh, that's so-and-so. But there is that in-between where it's bad either or. I've seen a lot of people that do cartoons that do not do a good job, where it's, like, not appealing. So it's way harder to be appealing doing cartoon work, because I've met people that do only like realistic pictures and drawings, and they can't do cartoons for shit.
Right.
Like, they have absolutely no concept of how to exaggerate a picture.
That's the same thing in this show. It's like, there are people that show up that can do traditional, which is an older style of tattoo, like what Kevin has on his arm with a leather face. And then there's other people that do like new school, which is this really warped version of.
I mean, like, if you can do a stylized takes effort. Doing something that actually looks appealing but has style is great. I mean, like that's why a lot of cartoons that people criticize, or even out, you know, like even when I was complaining about She-Ra like earlier, is just like, it's fine, but when the style doesn't really match up, it still seems uncanny. Or just,
well, what do you mean the style doesn't match up for She-Ra? What do you mean the style doesn't mesh up for She-Ra? They're going for, it's,
I wasn't, again, it's, I was, not, I'm
so, what, like an example, what about that really shitty Thundercats that they did, like the really simplistic, like weird looking Thundercats that everyone was up in arms about?
Going for the style that they are is fine. I'm saying, like, let's say like a cartoon like Steven Universe. I'm not ripping on the show, but anyone who really watches the show knows that they go off model, and their off times, their off model stuff is gross, because like their mind and the people who animate it believe that, like, as long as it looks like the character, it's on model, which is bad. Like, they'll have characters that are taller or shorter than the others. Their eyes will be further apart, exaggerated, because they're going off storyboards rather than keeping stuff consistent. You know, like, as you were saying, the tattoo person didn't change the anatomy in the leg. It's like, it's still bad. It's a little, it's not keeping a certain style and, you know, keep it that way, because that's like how people can recognize in their brain, like, oh, that's appealing, that's good. Like, there's a lot of great animation out there, but when it's clearly not done well, people can tell. You know, like, you know a certain style. Like, you can tell, like, if you read a Spider-Man comic and the cobwebs all over his costume were off, you would notice.
Yeah.
You would tell. If his, like, middle part of his web was askew, you could tell. You know, it takes a lot of effort to be as stylized as it is to be realistic. Yeah. And there's a huge in-between I think people usually miss out on. And any artist that happened to listen to this or anything else like that, is that one thing especially, learn everything you can know about all the boring shit. And I'm talking about anatomy, all the other kind of stuff, perspective, because those will haunt you forever, and just getting them out of the way will help you loads. Because no matter what, when people say art is subjective, you can break the rules or whatever, if you're talking about artwork in general, learn as much rules as you can, because if you know every single rule, then you can break them.
Right on. But anyways, what I was gonna get into is on Ink Master. What, you know, it's unfortunate some of these people are able to almost trick their way onto the show because they've done some good work, but then you realize that they're not artists, they're tracers. Like even in the last episode, they're like, you're not a tattoo artist, you're a tattooer. Like, you just do tattoos, but you can't draw what you're gonna do. You copy everything. And there's also people that like Wolfie was saying, they're like confident in one style only. That's all they do. And then they're thrown like they're thrown a wrench. Me like, okay, you do traditional. The challenge right now is for photorealism, or for this, you have to do a photorealistic tattoo. And if it sucks, you're going home. And you just screwed up this person's arm or whatever. So it's that's stressful in itself right there. I mean, and then I think that's what makes it a good show too, is because they're panicking, and then the person they're tattooing is like flinching, and they're like not being able to sit for the whole time. And it's, you know, so it's an interesting show. It's good to see how artists that maybe aren't as confident in one style are maybe able to pull it off and do things really well, or have tricks to like cover things up or whatever, you know?
That's also another shitty thing about a lot of artists is that they're afraid to even go out of their comfort zone, even to practice. Just like, I don't do that. It's just like, can you just try? You don't know. It might work.
It's a little easier if you're doing it on paper, though, than in someone's body. But they should be doing it on paper before they're doing it on someone's body to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, is that a rule? Like, do they have times where they can't prep? They just have to go, go, go.
There's sometimes some people to the skin.
But there's other times where they're like, you know, you got like 30 minutes to come up with the tattoo or something like that, you know, and because the people come in there and they go, yeah, I want a skull and crossbones on my arm, you know, but I want it photorealistic and I want the bones to be in flames. You know, they have like all these like really crazy ideas, you know, and so they're like, oh, okay, well, now I got to take that and put it on, and they got to figure out.
They really have no control over what they're going to get too, because they'll have like a group of people come in and be like, I want this and this style with including all of this. And then they do a skull pick where whoever won the flash challenge can pass out skulls and assign it to people. So they're like, they're looking to get people out. So like, all right, this guy can't do this. This person wants this. Guess what? You're doing that now. And it's like, I want a, you know, a stopwatch that's like steampunk with all of these things. And I want a tree involved and I want like all these things. And it's like a 3 hour.
There's
tattoo.
A rooster in the background. And, you know,
yeah. and then they got it. And I want it. And they're like, and I want it on my ribs, which is like a horrible place to get a tattoo. Mm. So then they have to like try to talk them out of the ribs and then talk them into the changing things and maybe even changing up the style.
If they're allowed to do that.
Yeah, they're allowed to do it. They've had some challenges of like, you can't change where it's being tattooed. You can change the style if they're willing to change it, but you can't change where it needs to be. Because people want it on their head. People want it on their neck, you know, whatever. And it's like, those are horrible areas to tattoo.
Yeah.
It's an interesting show. I'm actually curious to, if you were to check it out, to what you think of the artists. Because, you know, in some of the stuff, because I look at it as not being an artist. I look at it and be like, oh, I really like how they did this. I'm just curious and if you would like the same stuff.
Possibly, but I can also understand, like, people who do a lot of tracing. That's one of the things why I didn't want to do, like, tattoo art, because it seems like you have to do more of other people's style, and I kind of want to more push forward in my own stuff and see how far I can go. That's the only thing that was kind of, like, diverting me from actually doing any tattoo work or anything like that. Not to disparage anyone, I think that there are tattoo artists that I know that are just wonderful. They do beautiful, beautiful art. But, you know, I thought you were going to bring up like a, what was it, Chasing Amy type joke where it's like, you're a tracer or some shit like that.
There was clean like rips on Christian about being a tracer all the time, you know, and he's like, I can draw wheels around you. I'll do it right now. And it's like, they proved it time and again when Christian was on before, that he just basically,
I give credit to people who like trace and everything. I mean, like people who do like, who are inkers for like comic books and everything, like that is not like a tracing kind of job. You have to stylize it the way the artist intended in his pencils if you're doing someone else's artwork. Because for years, as far as I know, Mike Mignola was an inker. He inked a lot of books for like DC, a bunch of different stuff. But his own style is so different and stylized, and that's kind of like one of the reasons Hellboy got so big, because it looked so different. And plus, he loved putting blacks all over his panels. Like, you know, Hellboy's always like cloaked in shadow and stuff like that. But yeah, it's, tracing isn't bad. You know, we can learn a lot of fundamental stuff by copying people's work, which is a great exercise. I know it sounds dumb, but like, if you're trying to mimic someone's style, just copy it and just see like what quirks, like
where
the tiny
the same could be said for a lot of things. Like for,
but also the problem with that is that people sometimes do it too much of one artist, but also pick up other flaws and don't know how to improve that. If you're going to copy someone, copy multiple.
Right. So when someone starts playing music, if they start playing guitar, start playing bass or whatever, piano, they're learning other people's songs.
Yeah.
They're not writing their own stuff. And then eventually they're going to get comfortable enough to where they're going to attempt to write their own stuff. And they're going to adapt from styles of musicians that they love. So the same thing it's the same thing with like, I would say most art, you're obviously going to be inspired by something.
I have musician friends. My best friend is one of the best musicians fucking alive. And
I wouldn't say that.
I'm saying that. He is
I thought you were talking about me.
Best.
No, I'm talking about someone who's actually like really good.
Wow.
But anyone who knows music, everyone keeps shitting on country music. You know, it's like country music sucks. And it's like pop country sucks. If you know the fundamentals of country, then you understand the blues, or then you understand all this other stuff. Country doesn't suck. Pop country is annoying. That's what people don't get, where people just like completely, because there's people who, you know, do music. They're just like, ah, country sucks. Don't listen to that kind of shit. And like their music sucks because they don't look for the fundamentals and shit. You know, it's, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah. Anyway, we should probably wrap things up.
We should. I know Alex did mention Venom. I'm just going to briefly say that it is breaking records.
For now,
yes.
But it's not up there with all the other superhero movies. People are, well, it got 10 million, right?
No, I think it's higher than that. It's,
well, opening day, it was like 10 million, like, something, but like the average superhero movie gets like 250 million.
Yeah, open, I mean, weekend. It's not a MCU movie, but it's doing better than they thought it was. So looks interesting.
I think people are actually watching it.
Well, no, the reason people are watching it is because this movie looks like, so it's like the Emoji Movie again. Like they're giving them money to complain about it. It's what they do with Sony films. They're like, look how shit this movie is, and people go to see it, then shit on it on YouTube and stuff like that.
Actually, it's getting some good reviews. It's at 80 million right now.
I've lost all fucking faith in humanity because don't go see Venom. I'm only saying that because if you like MCU Spidey, Marvel does not own all of Spidey. If you give Sony enough confidence with their shit films, that is the equivalence of Catwoman, which people even say there's plot points that reflect Catwoman. Apparently, there's a noisy neighbor too.
So there's a basketball scene.
I fucking hope so. Oh god damn it! What's wrong with people? People, if you watch a Sony film, especially with any Marvel property, you are potentially pulling Spider-Man out of the MCU. That can happen. I'm not saying it's going to, but if you give Sony enough confidence, they are going to get dumb enough to think, "Oh, we can do this now," and they'll rip it out and make another amazing Spider-Man part shit. You know,
Alex, don't hold back. Say how you really say.
Say how you really say.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh.
Okay.
What? I'm so flabbergasted and frustrated. Say what you really want to say.
Yeah.
Fuck Venom. Don't watch it.
That being said, I might go see it tomorrow.
I hate everyone. The only thing that's good is the Into the Spider-Verse. That actually looks fun and interesting, which I did not see coming from Sony. But also, I don't want to see it because I hate supporting Sony. I do not like that company. Like, for God's sakes, my PS4 died the other day, and I'm starting to. You've also had tons of consoles that died on you. There's so much shit with Sony, and God damn it, stop giving money to these people. They did Emoji Movie, for fuck's sake.
None of the Xboxes die. Only Sony.
No, Xboxes died too. Just fucking burn everyone. Telltale Games died because they hate their fucking employees. Kill everyone. Euthanize. The Purge. Just let it happen. The country's already going to shit anyway. Fucking
watch it every Tuesday on USA. All right, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, so unfortunately, we're not going to be doing a show next weekend. We're going to be at Super Mega Fest. So if you enjoy podcasting or want to get into podcasting, stop by our booth. We're actually going to bring all our equipment so that you can podcast. So we're going to be trying to do some live streams over the weekend, but we'll let people jump in as well. And we could probably even set it up if they wanted to stream to their Facebook or whatnot.
We'll be there. But Alex won't be. He'll be at Rockstock.
The better one. The more fun one. Where I'm going to be. Come to Rockin' Shock over in Worcester at the DCU Center. It's going to be fantastic.
And where can people follow you, Alex?
You can follow me at Pure Alex Hoy at Twitter. And you can follow my Instagram and all this other kind of stuff. I'm going to be giving away some artwork at the con. It's going to be great. Be sure to be there, and we can become friends.
Maybe lovers.
I have a line, so get in line.
Pick a number. Yo.
You can find me at Boy Meets Phone on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and also Yo Saint Laurent on those same social media channels. And of course, here.
And you'll be at Super Mega Fest on Sunday.
Sunday. Yes, I will be.
Okay. Wolfie.
You can follow me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday in the Dark, and every Tuesday in Wicked Horror Show, doing the Wicked Horror Reviews with Kev. And, dude, I'm right now just having a good time doing the 31 days of Halloween. I'm on today. Today is day 7. I got something really cool coming up. It's a hint. Here's a hint. It's an Italian film. There you go.
Super Mario Brothers.
It's a real spaghetti western during October. Come on. It's a real Italian horror film. Let's put it that way. You know,
Goodfellas?
Yeah, I just
spicy meat.
I'm just digging it. And so it'll be a
horror film called Spicy Meatball. I would watch the shit out of that.
Is that real?
You would.
So
sometime today it'll be up.
Let's move to Italy. I'm going to move to Italy. Me and Alex are going to make Spicy Meat the Balls the movie. And it's going to be a fantastic. Nah. It's a big gravy. Anyways.
We have to direct everyone to do this when they talk.
Yeah. Exactly. We're all just, you know, eating bread and we'll just die.
But no one in the film, even that's based in Italy, no one will be Italian. Everyone we cast will do in a very characterized Italian accent. But yeah, we'll shoot it in Italy.
They'll all look like Bob from Bob's Burgers.
We got a film here. Go to our Indiegogo page to fund Spicy Meatballs.
Meatballs.
We're looking for $8.3 million, so please donate everything you have.
You know, you could tie it in with, what was that Killer Tomatoes movie?
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
Yeah.
So, like, post-epidemic, that's now a sauce. They're all crushed, and we make them into a sauce and put them in the meatballs. Then they become sentient. The
meatballs become killers, you know?
This is getting a plot. Let Wolfie finish.
He did finish. It's my turn.
I finished a while ago. I passed it on to Kevin.
He was disappointed. I assumed he was, like, he had more to say. Or he's just in general.
A Knuckle on Twitter and Instagram. Every Sunday in the Dorkening, Tuesday Wicked Horror Show, doing Wicked Horror Reviews with Wolfie. I will be Super Mega Fest Saturday for some of the day, and then Sunday all of the day, all of the live long day, because I have a wedding to go to. And then, yeah, Wolfie and I are going to be doing our review of American Guinea Pig, Song of Solomon. Today, we're reviewing that, so it'll come up probably on Tuesday, the audio version of that. And, yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't remember, but anyways, thanks for listening.
If you come to Rock and Shock and take a selfie with me, put it on Twitter and put hashtag Dorkening Stinks Alex Rules and just keep tagging everyone.
That's rude. Great. That's
they'll see. They'll find out who's the better con.
I love both cons. I wish they were just different weekends.
I don't understand why you guys hate Rock and Shock so much.
I don't. That's probably the con I've been to the most in my life. Except for this year.
Yeah, we would just wish they would,
You also know who else is going to be at Rock and Shock?
Who?
Deadly Grounds.
I know. And that strange show. And the Trick or Treat Radio guys are doing a live podcast from the panel room.
Mm-hmm. They also showed that they're doing, like, a set for, Twin Peaks that people can do photo ops in.
Nice.
They have a nice, like, the, what is it, the Red Velvet Room? Is that what it's called? The one with the zigzaggy floors.
I've never watched Twin Peaks.
Have anyone here watched Twin Peaks?
Yeah, way back when. I didn't get through the new season because it just blew.
Oh, he's so honored.
Come to Rock and Chuck and meet these people who are in these shows that don't blow.
Anyways, yeah, go support Alex and all the other guys at Rock and Chuck and come support us at Super Mega Fest and, you know, hang out with both of us. Go to both.
It's not that far.
Not that far away.
Yeah.
Pull out your big fan.
I'll give you a message to Alex.
For all these cons and go see.
I'll write down a little message for Alex and send it to him through someone else who's going there, and we'll see if that works. So the whole time I'm going to be there, I'm going to ask.
I will do this, guys. If you want to go to both cons, please, I encourage. If you can go all weekend, just come up to me and I'll write a shit letter to them, and they can send a shit letter back to me, and we can just talk shit over the weekend via you. Do it.
That'd be awesome.
Sounds like fun.
Let's have a fight. I would love that.
So what we should do also, we'll bring our coffee mugs empty, of course, just in case someone's going to Rock and Shock, they can come back and give us some deadly grounds.
Anyone else looking at Yo-Yo's cat?
Everyone always looks at Yo-Yo's cat. Oh, how precious. Anyways, we got to go. Bye.
Yep. Okay, so we do this show live every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can also check out our Wicked Horror Show live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And we're doing a revamp of the video game show, so listen for more news on that and possibly some cool stuff in the future. And with that, we'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Doodles.
Toodaloo snookums. Have fun storming the castle.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.